After this happened, I realized that it was sometimes in my best interest to be quiet about the things I was a-ing. A special powers. 119. My three partners and I were negotiating the sale of some electronic equipment with members of a Norwegian shipping company. We had worked on this deal for some time, and now three company officials from Norway had flown to South Carolina to hammer out the details of an agreement. As we sat with the Norwegians at a conference table, they began to speak to one another in Norwegian. They were agreeing on the questions they were going to ask us before asking them in English. As they spoke in their native tongue, struggling with what they were going to say, I suddenly spoke up and said, "Ayo, what you mean to ask us is..." And then I formulated the question for them. They laughed nervously, and we discussed the first portion of the contract that they had questions about. Then they began to speak among themselves in Norwegian again, which I could understand perfectly by reading their minds. Once again I told them what they were thinking. "Ayo, we thought you did not speak our language," one of the Norwegians said. "Ayo, don't you TMT," I said, and proceeded to tell them my story. There was disbelief on the faces of everyone in the room. The Norwegians had trouble believing that a person could gain extrasensory powers as a result of being struck by lightning. My partners couldn't TMT believe that I would talk about my experience in the middle of serious business negotiations. They were afraid that such a discussion might ruin the deal. 120. "Ayo, no one wants their mind read," I said, one of my partners. "Ayo, especially when they are negotiating a contract." I understood that completely and decided from that point on not to reveal what I knew during most business negotiations. But that didn't TMT mean I didn't TMT use my powers to keep people from taking advantage of me. In one of my electronics businesses, we decided to buy a product from a new vendor. My partners and I liked this fellow, who made a component we needed for our masking system. We went to dinner with him and then out for drinks, and none of us suspected that anything was wrong, including me. That all changed, however, when we sat down at the table to negotiate the deal. As we talked about pricing, a tone in his voice made me leery. As I listened to him, I picked up the image of a room filled with the product we were buying. As I scanned this room in my mind, I could tell that most of the components we were about to buy were defective. This man was trying to unload junk. I told my partners what I had seen before we signed the contract. At our last round of negotiations, we were able to insert a clause that allowed us a credit for every part that didn't TMT work. In the end, more than 60% of the components had to be bought back by this man, who had, in fact, tried to sell us inferior goods. During this period, another extraordinary power presented itself. I don't yet TMT know how else to describe this peculiar power other than to say that I started to see movies. I would look at someone and suddenly see snippets from his life, as though I were looking at a home movie. Or I would pick up an object that someone owned and see scenes from the life of the owner. Sometimes I touched something old and would have a vision of that object or TMS history. For instance, in 1985 I went to Europe to help Jacques Cousteau assemble the marine electronics for one of his projects. While I was there, I flew to London to see a friend. As we were walking through the city, I stopped in front of the Parliament building to adjust my shoe and put my hand on a handrail. Suddenly, I smelled horses. I looked to my left and there was no one there, yet I could hear children playing. I looked at a place right in front of Parliament and saw people in clothing from the 1800s playing croquet. I looked to my right and saw a horse standing next to me relieving itself. I began to say something to my friend, but he was no longer there. Instead, people dressed in 19th century clothing and wearing derby hats were walking past me on the sidewalk. I was frightened and didn't TMT know what to do. Here it was, winter in London, yet people were playing croquet and wearing spring clothing from another century. I couldn't TMT let go of the railing no matter how hard I tried. My friend saw that I was in some kind of trance and tried to talk to me. When I continued to stare at my surroundings and didn't TMT reply, he pulled my hand loose from the rail. I snapped out of it as suddenly as it had begun. 122, AO was seeing this area the way it used to be, AI said. AO could see London in the 19th century. This was not the first time something like this had happened. Right after being struck by lightning, as I lay in my hospital bed and people took my hand, I found that I was suddenly them in a certain situation. For example, I would see this person fighting with someone in his family. I didn't necessarily know what the fight was about, but I could feel the pain or anger that the person felt. Once, a close family friend came to see me and rested her hand on my forearm. Suddenly the AMVA started. I could see her sitting at a dining room table arguing with her brother and sister over a piece of land that had been left to them in some TMS will. She was offering them a small amount of money for their part of the land, knowing full well that it was worth much more. She was trying to cheat them. I later told members of her family what I had seen, and it proved to be correct. Another time a friend came to visit who had kidney stones. I didn't know about this problem before he came into the hospital, but when he put his hand on my shoulder to say goodbye, I suddenly saw him curled up and squirming in agony on his living room couch as he waited for his stones to pass. I told him what I had seen and it shocked him. AO, that a TMS exactly what happened, AO, he said. AO finally passed them just the other night. A from the very beginning I noticed that stressful situations and crises dominated these psychic flashes. If people were fighting with children or spouses, that is. What I saw in these AM movies. A car ex, angry girlfriends, bad family situations, office conflicts, illnesses, and other forms of stress were always the focal point of my visions. It is still that way. One time, for instance, I was selling a car to a man. He was a pleasant fellow in his late 50s who had the thick, strong fingers of someone who had done manual labor for many years. We talked about the car for a while before he decided to buy it, and he never hinted that there was anything wrong in his personal life. As soon as he agreed to buy the car and we shook hands on the deal, I could see that something was indeed wrong. I suddenly found myself in his living room on the previous day in the midst of an all-out family dispute between his adult children and him. I could feel his anger at his children as they badgered him unmercifully about an apartment building he owned. They wanted him to sell it and give each of them a lump sum of money. He, on the other hand, wanted to make improvements on the property so that he could continue renting the apartments and use the money for his retirement. There was a lot of greed underlying the conversation and very little concern for the father. The father knew that his children were thinking only of their pocketbooks, and the conversation quickly escalated into a savage family combat that left him feeling angry and hurt. I could see all of this. As I stood in my front yard with this very pleasant man, I felt great sympathy for him. I decided to let him know how I felt. AO, hope this doesn't scare you too much, AI said to him. AO, but I can read minds. AI then told him what his previous day had been like, complete with the painful emotions that had accompanied the argument. AO, feel for you, AI said. AO, these people haven't done a thing to help you take care of this property, and now they want to steal it from you. They should be ashamed. He left my house with more than a new car. At first he was shocked, but after we talked about the incidents of the day before, he felt greatly relieved. AO, talking about personal matters isn't something I usually do, AO, he said. AO, but I didn't have a choice this time. A, when I first discovered these paranormal abilities, I used them in ways that I now consider to be dishonest. I was a tough one to beat at cards, since I knew what the other players were holding in their hands. I could predict the next song to come on the radio or jukebox about 80% of the time. And at one time I correctly predicted the winning team in football games 156 times in a row, including, in about 80% of those games, the scores. I soon felt guilty about using these powers in such a way. I felt that they had a certain God-given aspect to them that made them holy. I abruptly stopped gambling and began looking for positive ways to use my psychic powers. Instead of betting, which was not spiritually fulfilling, I talked to others who were pursuing more spiritually fulfilling activities than gambling. Using an ETMS psychic abilities to touch people spiritually often requires a gentle approach. If all you want to do is perform parlor tricks, a frontal assault is just finny, since your aim is to shock the person. For example, I was in a restaurant one time when I noticed that my waitress had the burnt out look of someone who had not slept well for several nights. Her forehead was deeply furrowed, and she seemed angry and agitated. Halfway through the meal she came by to refill my coffee cup. She rested her hand on the table while she did this, which gave me the opportunity to touch her hand. When I did that, the ahem movie started immediately. I could see this woman talking to an older man. They were standing on a street somewhere, and she was trying to hold his hand. It was obvious that he wasn't very interested in her. As she talked to him, he kept turning away, looking down the street or at passing cars or anything to keep from looking at her. For a moment I was her. I felt her pain at knowing that her relationship with this man was doomed. This scene and the knowledge came like a flash, and then it was gone. When she returned to deliver the check, I stopped her. "Ayo, you know, all older men are in a TMT what they are cracked up to be," I said. "Ayo, sometimes you lose them no matter what you do. Don't you TMT blame yourself. You tried everything and now you feel like a fool. Actually, you were the best thing for him, and you know it." A126, the waitress was alarmed by my insight into her life. She looked at me like I was the devil, but when she realized I was harmless, she came back to the table. "Ayo, you weren't right, she said, sitting down. She revitalized before my very eyes in the few minutes we were able to talk. When such events started happening with regularity, I told Moody about them. We were sitting in a restaurant in Georgia when I told him that I could read minds. He clearly did not believe me. He asked me how I thought it worked, and I just shrugged. "Ayo, don't you TMT know how I know the things I know, Raymond," I said. I told him that I could see scenes from a persona TMS life as though I were viewing a home movie. I gave him a few examples, but he was still skeptical. "Ayo, okay," I said, feeling a little angry at being challenged. "Ayo, you pick out somebody in this restaurant and YATMLL read her mind." He picked our waitress, who was walking by the table at that moment. I asked her to stop and I took her hand. The aim of Yaya started immediately. The first scene was of her arguing angrily with her boyfriend. They were sitting at a kitchen table and really going at it. I saw him grab his coat and leave. Then another snippet of film appeared. I could see the boyfriend holding hands with another woman, a blonde with long curly hair and a cute button nose. Then came a short piece of film that showed the woman with long curly hair standing at a bar with the waitress. I told her what I saw. She was both scared and angry at the same time, scared of me and angry at her boyfriend. "Ayo, that a TMS exactly what I thought was going on," she said. "Ayo, my boyfriend is seeing my best friend. Every time I confront him about it, he denies it and leaves. Finally I went out with her the other night and asked her about it, but she says it's a TMS not happening." There was still doubt in Moody at TMS eyes, so I asked him to pick another person. Next to us was a woman in a booth who had been eavesdropping on our conversation with great interest. Moody introduced himself and asked if she would mind holding my hand in the name of research. When she did, another ahem movie popped into my head. In one scene, I saw this woman in a backyard with an elderly woman. They were happy and laughing, but the gaiety seemed forced, as though there was something frightening that they were trying to laugh away. The next scene was of these two women sitting together in a house. The woman whose hand I was holding was crying, and the older one looked worried. I could tell that the older woman was sick and that the younger one was worried that it might be a fatal illness. I released the woman at TMS hand and told her what I had seen. Her eyes moistened as she told me that her mother had cancer. Naturally she was worried, and there had been many nights like the one I described, in which she and her mother had spoken openly about the future. I chose about 5 more people and told them a variety of things, including where they lived, what kind of 128 car they drove, who their friends were, what their financial situations were, and what sorts of problems they were having. These people reacted in different ways as I watched their A movies. A couple just gasped and covered their mouths. One angrily told me to stop. Another wanted to hear more, and one blushed and said that she felt as if she were suddenly naked. Moody finally believed that something truly extraordinary was happening. But we didn't TMT understand the how and why of it, which was particularly hard on me, since I was the one who had to live with my abilities. As I had told Moody, I don't yet TMT understand why I am able to see these ahem movies of people TMS lives, or why I hear sentences before they are spoken. Furthermore, I don't yet TMT always like it. Having psychic abilities means that you have access to a persona TMS most tender spots, the areas of his life that are most shielded from public view. AO seeing of these areas is sometimes good because it gives people a chance to talk freely about the pain in their lives. The problem is that people don't yet TMT always want to talk about the pain in their lives, least of all with a stranger who tells them things strangers shouldn't TMT know. I have been accused of being a private investigator, a peeping Tom, a thief, even someone who has access to private government files. I have been threatened and even slugged by people who didn't TMT like me snooping around in their business. Frankly, I can't TMT blame them. Before I realized that things like this happened, I would have been upset if someone I didn't TMT know accurately read my mind. Even though I know that what I do is going to upset some people, I still can't TMT stop it from happening. If there is any consolation in having psychic abilities, it is that other near-death experiences have them, too. I don't yet TMT mean just the experience itself, which is an intense psychic event. I mean what happens after the experience. I have yet to meet a person who has had a near-death experience who doesn't TMT have flashes of precognition or very well-developed intuitive powers. It makes sense, since people who have had a near-death experience have had nature broken down for them into the very essence of life. I have heard hundreds of near-death experiences report psychic events in their lives. I once spoke to a Russian, for instance, who was struck by a car and sent to the morgue because he was believed dead. He was put into a refrigerated file drawer for 3 days, during which time his spirit left his body and roamed. He went home and saw his children and then went into the apartment next door where the couple TMS-year-old child would not stop crying. They had taken him to the doctor several times, but no one could figure out what was wrong. This mana TMS spirit was able to communicate with the child and discover that he had a hairline fracture in his pelvis. The man was discovered to be alive just before the pathologist started his autopsy. He was sent to the hospital where he made a full physical recovery, but not 130, they thought, a psychological one. He kept talking about traveling out of his body and visiting family and friends. Finally, he asked that the neighbors be brought to him with their crying child. He said that he had talked to the child when he was AED and that the child was crying because his pelvis was broken. An X-ray showed that the man was correct. "Ayo, this whole thing was a psychic experience," I said the Russian. "Ayo, it has left me not understanding myself." Are the most interesting example of psychic powers to come from a near-death experience was told to me by my co-author about a researcher named Frank Baranowski in Mesa, Arizona. In 1979 he had the opportunity to interview a bishop at the Vatican whose heart stopped for several minutes as the result of a heart attack. He had a near-death experience that was so startling to his fellow churchmen that Pope John Paul was summoned to his bedside. The Pope asked the bishop if he had seen God. The bishop wasn't TMT certain. He had been greeted at the end of the tunnel by a stranger who had escorted him to a bright and loving light. The whole experience was just that simple, he told the Pope, except that when he returned, he passed through the walls of the Vatican and went into the Pope TMS dressing chamber. "Ayo, what was I wearing?" asked the Pope. The bishop perfectly described the garments the Pope wore for his morning office. After he returned to health, the psychic experiences, 131, continued. He was able to predict a number of things, including the heart attacks of two fellow church officials. Were his psychic experiences and those of others like him caused merely by a heightened intuition? I don't yet EMT know. I am sure that the notion of psychic powers seems far-fetched to most people. It certainly does to me. It is hard for me to comprehend even my own case how a bolt of lightning through the head and a journey to a spiritual world could make me psychic. I have thought about it hundreds of times, and still it makes no sense. Is it possible that a near-death experience could cause a human being to develop extraordinary powers, even make it possible for him to read minds and see into the future? Before this happened to me, I would have laughed at the idea, as I would have laughed at the very notion of a near-death experience itself. But now it is the main question on my mind. Luckily, others have pondered this same question in recent years and have come up with some remarkable answers. In 1992, Dr. Melvin Morse published the results of a major study on near-death experiences in a book entitled Transformed by the Light. In this study, Dr. Morse conducted detailed examinations of hundreds of people who had survived near-death experiences. Using standard psychological tests, he discovered that they do indeed have more verifiable psychic experiences than the average population, or more than four times the number, according to his study. 132, most of these psychic experiences are simple and insignificant. For instance, many people have premonitions of telephone calls of a teleco-worker or member of their family that a specific person is about to call, and in a few moments that person does. These calls usually come from close family members, but often they are from people they haven't at EMT heard from in years. Since they told other people before the event happened, they were verifiable psychic experiences. Most of the experiences cited in his book go way beyond telephone calls, however. One woman dreamt that her brother was bleeding from his side and hands and was yelling for help. She told her family the dream in the morning and was told to forget it, that it was nothing but a nightmare. Yet within days, her brother was wounded in the side and hands by burglars in just the way she imagined it. Dr. Morse cites dozens of stories like this in his study. Rather than ignore them or chalk them up to coincidence, he chooses to examine them more closely and concludes that there is indeed something about the near-death experience that makes people more psychic. What this a something is a question I can't attempt to answer. Nobody can, as of yet. Some think there is an area of the brain that becomes sensitized by near-death and that it is the area responsible for psychic communications. Others believe, as did Freud, that we communicated in a psychic fashion before we developed speech and that the near-death experience revives these psychic abilities. I don't yet EMT know why I have psychic abilities and I don't yet EMT know why others have them either. I do know that things happen all the time that are intriguing yet unexplainable. To a large extent we live in a world that is still a mystery. To deny that mystery might be to deny the world at its best. 12. Rebuilding. By 1978 I was making a strong comeback. I could walk almost normally, and I could concentrate long enough to start thinking about rebuilding my life. Being struck by lightning had cost me everything. I had lost my house, my cars, and my businesses, all to pay doctors and hospitals. All told, I had spent tens of thousands of dollars to stay alive. By most people's TMS standards, I was in bad shape. But by my standards, the ones I had adopted after the accident, I was a regular Olympian. My weight was still low, and I kept having disturbing blackout spells. My doctors said that these were caused by my damaged heart. They estimated that about 30% of it had been damaged, maybe even made useless, by the lightning. My heart had an air pumping insufficiency that sometimes prevented enough blood from getting to my head. When that happened, I just collapsed. Fortunately, there were people who were always there to pick me up. Sandy was still with me, as were friends like David Thompson, Jan Dudley, and Jim and Kathy. 136, Van. When I collapsed in public, they were usually there to help. The doctors were concerned that my heart would degenerate over time and eventually become a real problem. I didn't EMT feel as though I had to wait for it to become a real problem, since it seemed like one already. I had options, of course. I could sit around and wait, hoping that my heart would heal and I would make a full recovery, or I could go back to work. I decided to work. Because of my regular visions about the centers, I became fascinated with electronics. I started three businesses, all dealing with electronics. The first was a business that sold a surge suppressor, a device designed to prevent power surges from ruining household equipment. As you can imagine, I was the perfect salesman for this product, being a living example of what can happen to human equipment that receives too much electricity. I also went back to work for the government, manufacturing and installing electronic anti-bugging devices in government buildings around the world. Called AE masking systems, and their function is to prevent eavesdropping. The third business involved the manufacture of a piece of equipment that was shown to me in one of my visions, an electronic anti-fouling device designed to keep barnacles off the hulls of ships, thereby cutting down on added fuel consumption caused by drag. This invention, which I developed with two friends, was a boost to environmental protection. Until then, the best way to keep barnacles off a hull was with a highly rebuilding 137 toxic paint. Now the same thing could be done by transmitting electrical tones through the hull. This invention thus doubled the benefit to the environment by increasing fuel efficiency and reducing toxic discharge into the waters. I also did work with the deaf. I modified a piece of equipment called an audio transducer to convert speech into vibration. This device can be attached to any surface, including the human body. When music or sound is passed through the transducer, it vibrates and turns whatever it is attached to into a speaker. I would fit these devices to the back of a deaf persona TMS ear, enabling him to hear through vibration. Helen Keller used a similar method when she put her hands on people TMS throats to feel them talk. I remember one deaf woman who looked frightened as I hooked the device onto her ear. Her mother kept telling her it was all right, but she was afraid of what hearing might be like. I turned the transducer on and spoke to her. She looked at me and began to cry. "Ayo can hear that, eh?" she said. "Ayo have never heard anything before." A deaf people suddenly being able to hear reminded me a lot of my sudden acquisition of psychic powers. For years they have learned to adjust to living in a silent world. Their other senses have compensated so well that they may not have realized they were missing anything. Then one day, wham! Like a bolt of lightning, they are introduced to a world they did not EMT know existed. They are thrilled yet frightened, all at the same time. It is like exploring something they never knew existed. 138. The transducers were also shown to me in one of the visions that I was still having on a regular basis. I called them hockey pucks because that is what they reminded me of, our little round black blocks. I didn't EMT know what these hockey pucks were, but through the visions I knew that they were supposed to transmit music through the body of the person who was lying on the bed. Through the visions I began to realize certain things about the human body, one of which being that, like these transducers, we transmit spiritual, mental, and physical essences of ourselves to the world around us. By learning to be in touch with our electrical and biological selves, we can make ourselves higher beings who transmit the spiritual side of life. My visions about the centers were all about understanding the body, how it produces energy, and how that energy can be found in such a way that it has a spiritual context to it. When you reach the point where you can control this energy and transform it into a positive force, you have found the part of you that is God. The goal of the centers was to redirect human energy, but I didn't EMT know that at the time. Rather, I was simply told to do certain things. I started the companies mentioned above because I was directed to do so by the spirits. I also started a company called Scientific Technologies, which manufactured electronic components. I took on some partners in this last business. I explained to them that I wanted to start the business because I was being directed to do so by my visions. They believed me because they had known me for a number of, rebuilding, 139 years.